Welcome to Gotta Love Texas Music. I'm Catherine.
I'm Honey. And you look very comfortable.
I am very comfortable on my cool orange couch with my feet propped up on my blue ottoman.
You look mad though. You got your arms crossed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just snuggling in.
It's kind of cool out here today.
Man.
I left the AC on, so we're probably going to get a whole big old electric bill.
So, dude, sorry about the fact that we haven't released an episode in a couple of weeks. Life. I don't know.
Yes, we're working on it.
Yeah. We're getting ready for a cruise. We're getting ready for our son to graduate high school, our daughter to graduate college. Yep. Plus just...
Everything. Well, yeah. this happens about this time every year.
Yeah. Because our life goes crazy. Over. Yeah, you had competition.
Yeah, last week I had competition, so I was gone for a whole week. And my kids placed third.
Yeah.
The first time I ever went to a TSA competition, and my students placed third. So the previous engineer teacher can bite me for what she said.
You know. Positivity, babe. Positivity.
I'm positively that feel vindicated.
I mean, we didn't even go see any music.
No. Well, sort of did. We went to go see karaoke the other night.
Oh, and last weekend, we ended up going to see somebody play at Outlaws, but I have no clue who they were.
They were really good, actually. Yeah. Yeah, we should have talked to them. They were really good. It was a husband-wife band.
Yeah, they were good, but I have no clue what their name was. But we danced on the best dance floor I've ever danced on.
Yeah, we boogied out early. Yeah, if y'all like it, y'all should. If you're around the Talty Terrell area, you need to go to Outlaws.
Oh, and it's non-smoking now.
Yeah, they do have a place upstairs where if you want to smoke, you can go up there.
Yeah.
But it's a cool place.
Yeah,
we love Deborah.
Yeah, and if you like to play pool, they got lots of really nice pool tables.
Yeah, she put a lot of money in pool table.
And definitely if you go in, because you heard about them on here, tell them where you heard it. Mm-hmm. Gotta Love Texas Music Podcast, Honey and Catherine.
Catherine this week, and Honey. Sounds better.
This week, we sat down with Grace Partridge.
Yeah, we did.
At Nate Burnham's house.
Yeah, with cool wallpaper.
Time ago.
And then shortly after that, Grace started giving me fiddle lessons.
We've
taken a hiatus because she has moved.
Yeah.
But as soon as things settle down for the summer, we're going to pick that back up.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
She is. I mean,
my fiddle playing has tripled since I've started playing with her.
I love that.
Yeah.
But she's also an amazing musician.
Well, she's an amazing person too.
Cute personality. Oh my Lord. And it shows so much on the stage. I mean, you could be in the back of the room and you just want to be her friend because she's adorable.
If you hear her play, what's wild is, okay, so if you don't see her, you just hear her. You swear to God, she's like 80 years old.
Well,
come back to life. No, her voice doesn't do it.
Sound like
I'm talking
80,
like the feel of the music.
From the 1940s. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the music is just so,
yep.
Antique.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is a good way to put it.
Well, I mean, she loves Texas swing.
Yes.
I mean, that is her passion.
Oh, and it's always been one of my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but then again, I always thought I was born like 20 years too late.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk anymore about her because we talked to her. So why don't you guys just give her a listen? All right, guys, we are hanging out in Nate Burnham's dining room talking to Grace. Hey, man.
Hi.
How are you?
I feel like there should be also, when you say her name, like rainbows and unicorns appear. But we do have this really cool wallpaper here, so I'm still digging it.
I don't know why I'm nervous. We're just
Around
the table.
How are you nervous? Here's what's funny is whenever she said we're going to interview Grace, I got nervous. Here I am, a 58-year-old guy getting nervous because of some 18-year-old kid. And I know you're
19 now.
19.
Watch
and it. I'm just like, to me, I feel like the person that probably sat down and interviewed Loretta Lynn or somebody like that 40 years or 50 years ago. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be one of those interviews that they look back and go, how did y'all interview her?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm thoroughly intimidated by your skill, your voice, your looks, your appearance, your fiddle playing.
Yeah. Poise.
Yes. Your fiddle playing. Mm,
yeah.
And your fiddle playing.
Yep. And so, guys, if you've never heard of Grace Partridge, you will. 100%.
I think so.
She is definitely one to watch.
Thank you.
I don't even remember. Also we have Nate Burnham. He might say a word or two. We'll see.
I'm here for the color commentary. I'm going to add little bits of
He's gonna give us some dirt on Grace.
Yeah, I'm here for the dirt.
That's over.
That's what I'm here for.
And he's got a little button that he can tase Kathy if her language gets colored.
I will try not to. I promise y'all. If I do slip, I will cut it out. I will, because I would never do that to you. But how did we even meet? When did we meet? I don't remember.
I saw y'all do a video. It was Seminole Wind. I saw a video of y'all doing that, and I was just like blown away. And then we met you. Where did we meet?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Did we
meet? Might have been Southern Junction. Did you guys come to Southern Junction or no?
No.
So Sweetwater Grill?
Maybe. I don't know. I keep on going. Was it at Green Hall?
No, that's where we met your debut.
Oh, that's where you met. That's probably where you met me.
I got to talk to you. Yes.
Because, yeah. Because I was with Billy Joe.
You were with Billy Joe. And I think that maybe we had seen each other before that, just barely in passing. But
and that's where you promised to give me violin lessons. Just saying. I'm holding you to it.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That was you. I was like, who do I owe fiddle lessons?
I suck really bad.
He's trying.
I'm trying. It's just a hobby for me.
Well, just after the podcast, we'll just run over some things.
Oh, okay. You know? That'd be awesome. Wouldn't be a bad thing, for sure.
I forgot my fiddle.
That's okay. I bet she has three. One. How many do you have, honey? Two? Three?
Two.
Yeah. Yeah. He likes
I had three, but it's a long story.
So speaking of fiddle, how did you... Okay, so you've been playing the fiddle for how long?
Crap. I aged a year. 15 years now.
Yeah. So you've been playing it since you're like four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Four, almost five.
How did that even... come about as a four-year-old? Did you say I want to do this, or did somebody say you're gonna do this?
Well, my brother actually played classical violin, and he was switching teachers at the time, but he made the transition from classical to old-time fiddling. And I remember he switched teachers, and he was taken from them for a couple months, and all of a sudden her name's Jackie Seitz. She came out on Facebook and said that she was looking for a guinea pig to see how young they could start a fiddle student.
Okay.
And I, as a kid, would always want to take my brother's fiddle away from him. And I was always trying to grab it. And he, you know, he obviously got annoyed. But finally, my mom bought me just this little 16th size fiddle that I could just saw on. Mm-hmm. And once that post came out, she reached out and we got me started. Three lessons a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Oh gosh,
wow.
I can't remember if they were 30 minutes or an hour, one of those. And then every day.
Your attention span had to be just squirrel. I mean, at that age.
I loved it.
Did you?
You know, I don't really remember much now, but I sure am thankful for it. But I do remember my practice routine was, you know, 1 hour a day, and I would listen to music, specifically fiddle or classical violin music, for an hour a day. And I think after few months we moved it down to two lessons a week, and then and then after that we, you know, gradually went down to one lesson a week, and now I don't take lessons anymore. I think I need to, but
you know, I mean, so I think that especially from all the musician stuff that we talked to, even people that have been playing for years and years and years are like, you know, every once in a while I'll find somebody new that I didn't take lessons from before, just to get a new perspective or whatever. Yeah,
I've taken a couple of lessons from Joey McKenzie. He lives in Burleson. He's a really great teacher. But other than that, I really haven't had weekly lessons in about 5 years.
Oh wow!
In this area, I'm finding out that it's almost impossible to find. Like the lady that was teaching me, I was her first adult. Mm-hmm. She only taught children, so it was very uncomfortable for her. She didn't know how to.
Yeah.
Teach me, but we had a good time.
Yeah.
But I can't find another one anywhere in
this area. Yeah.
Where do y'all live?
Terrell.
Oh, well, I'll teach you.
There you go.
In your spare time. Yeah. I mean, but come on.
In between trips to Nashville and everything else. Sure. Okay.
Not Nashville.
So, but you're pretty busy, right? I mean, with your music.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, tell me what all you got going on.
Well, every time somebody asks me that, I have to open my Google Calendar and see what I did the last week and what I have the next week after. I can't
Is
remember
it bad?
Anything. Yeah. We're going to Houston this week, Nate. On Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going to
are
Houston
you?
For?
We're playing at the Do-Si-Do breakfast.
Yes.
Barbecue whiskey place on Thursday. Actually, going to see Jeff Canada that day. Do a little podcast with him. And
oh great! Fun.
Go play Do-Si-Do. So
awesome.
And then, we're back and forth to Houston a couple times over the next month.
Try to see the Big Barn while you're down.
Yeah.
The Do-Si-Do Big Barn. Yeah, make sure you look into it.
I'm about to check it out.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, we just came in from Houston.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Yeah, should have went with us. We had a good time.
Yeah, we've got that, and then I'm gonna go to Austin the day after to record some of my songs with Jim Losberg. He's putting some steel on some of my records, and so
oh, fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
What studio?
It's his.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been recording at Fort Worth Sound with Bart Rose, but. Jim has his own house studio, so we're just flying the tracks, and he wanted to make sure that I would approve of everything, and so I'm close, you know, what is it, an hour away from Austin, or 2 hours?
Shoot, you're making all that driving.
From
I don't
what,
know.
From Houston? From Houston to
Houston,
Austin?
Houston, Austin, probably about, 2.5.
Houston's 3.
2.5, 3.
Yeah, it's about 2.5.
Depends on what side of Houston you're on.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time
I can
we go
make
to Houston,
it in 2 hours.
Every time we go, to Houston, though, it's like, okay, let's Mad Max up and get ready for battle because these people cannot drive. They got the largest interstate in Katy. It's 26 lanes across.
What? I refuse. Yeah. That stresses me out just thinking about it.
It's unreal.
I think I've seen a video of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to end up on that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you just shoot 10 out to like San Antonio, then scoot up to Austin.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So you play all over the place though, right?
Yeah.
So you have a full band that we saw for your birthday party.
But there was something about that though. That was the first time most of those guys had played with you.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And they did a phenomenal job. Your steel player.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
That's Jim. That's
is it?
Jim Losberg.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Oh,
he was good.
He's great. He's played for a lot of the greats. He's insane.
That's the cool thing about Grace is she has access to some of these like legendary seasoned musicians that play that style of music. And so she, when she plays with them, like they are just, it sounds like they've been playing forever.
On point. So how do you get access to all those musicians?
Well, the sad part is that it is a dying art, that kind of music. So a lot of the players are the greats, and a lot of the, you know, like Nate said, they are the seasoned musicians, and there aren't a lot of the new generation. There's not a lot of new generation people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been able to find a lot of these guys at Western Swing, like festivals and associations that, you know, they still do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to find a lot of people through that.
Okay.
Yeah, we got something the other day. It was a long list of
It was
Texas
some festival.
Yeah,
it's like a big swing festival that's coming up. And he was like, babe. I'm like, let's go. I'm down. I'm down for it. That sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well,
and she plays for a cowboy church, too. That has a lot of some of the guys from the Texas Playboys.
Yeah, Larry Reed, he's a sax player. He plays with Jason Roberts, Texas Playboys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, and they're going to be on your album that you're working on?
Yeah, they are on my single.
Okay.
I Hate Myself for Loving You. The horn players from that band are on there. It's Larry Reed, Steve Hamm, and Mike Bennett.
Okay.
And they did an incredible job on the horn section. It was really fun. We did a whole Dixie ride on that, and it was a lot of fun. It's funny because the guy who was recording it, Bart, he looked at me in between while we were recording that song, and he was like, Grace, is this what you want? And I was like, yeah, this is Dixie. And he was like, well, tell them that. And I was like, well, they know. And he was like, oh, okay. Because it was just so busy. Uh-huh. And and he was like, this is really a lot. And I was like, welcome to Dixie. Like it's a lot. It can be overbearing sometimes.
Is, yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah,
you know, well, fun mixing that. You know, just like yeah, just yeah. 17 instruments in there. Okay, good luck, Bart. Catch you later.
Well, it's a genre that most people aren't familiar with.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, exactly. even the dancing to it is different. Mm-hmm. You know, like we two step and we swing dance to like big band era music. Right. Love.
We like, swing, but yeah. I don't know how to Western swing.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah.
But I've always been a big fan of more instruments, the better, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, you won't know him, but the Stray Cats, the guy that ran the Stray Cats, which was an 80s band, mm-hmm. he does a big band now. Oh, and it's cool. Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does some Western swing yeah. in there, but mostly it's big band, you know, which is real similar. That's where it came from.
So how did you get into Western swing? Because that is not something that most 19-year-olds would just,
it's true.
You know, fall in love with.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, growing up with fiddle, I went to a lot of fiddle competitions. I went to Weezer, which is the national fiddle contest.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in a little while.
There, I met a lot of fiddle friends. One of them, his name is Ridge Roberts. You've probably heard of him. He was actually at my birthday bash, too.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Was that the guy that got up with you?
Yes, the okay. fiddle player.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I met him and Chad Matthews and Leah Sawyer, Julian Oliver, and we called ourselves the Fiddle Gang. and that's how it started. And then eventually we added, I met my friend Beth and she joined the Fiddle Gang. And all of a sudden, like there were like 10 people in this Fiddle Gang. And then it just turned into, it was this group chat that lasted like a year and a half. And it was just so fun. You know, there were a lot of things that went on and Ridge actually introduced me to Merle Haggard when I was 14.
Wow.
And I absolutely fell in love with Merle Haggard. Mm. And that led me to find everybody else, Buck Owens and Glenn Campbell. And then I had never even heard of Bob Wills. It's insane. I didn't even hear about him until I was 14.
Wow.
And so, you know, Merle Haggard was just my gateway, you know, it's my gateway drug. I want to say that.
That's a hellacious gateway. I'm telling you. Man.
It just led me down the rabbit hole into finding all of these amazing artists. And then that's where I found my niche. You know, I never really took a liking to any of the new music that was coming out and any of the new country. I never liked country music. Mm-hmm. But then I found what country used to be, and I was like, oh my gosh,
this is it.
And I just fell in love with Western swing and everything about it. So, yeah.
And all of this is happening while she's in Idaho. So, I mean, mm-hmm. a 14, 15-year-old not hearing of Bob Wills in Idaho seems pretty normal.
You know? Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know,
when you put it into context, it's like most people in Idaho have not heard of Bob Wills.
No, yeah. Probably not. Well, no you're idea. Right.
So you're talking about meeting Merle Haggard, and then I hear you say Glenn Campbell, and I'm just like, but what people don't realize about Glenn Campbell was he was one of the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah,
he was like one of the premier studio musicians mm-hmm. yeah. 4 years and could not read music.
Yeah.
That's what was wild. He would pick it up by ear and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't see how people do that.
Glenn Campbell just amazed me.
He's my favorite.
And then
musician.
Buck Owens from Hee Haw was just. But I like the Buckaroos better, which was like his backup band. Mm-hmm. I like them better than Buck Owens, but that's just my opinion. Just better, you know.
Don Rich.
Yeah. You said that Glenn Campbell's your favorite musician?
Yeah, he's my favorite musician. Ah. Yeah, I mean, he's just incredible. And the control he had over his voice was just insane.
And his the beginning intro to Wichita Lineman was made by Carol Kay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love that song. Because my grandfather was a Wichita lineman.
He was.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of a butthole, but that's okay. Oh. No, he's just an old gruff man that just was never happy, you know. But then we learned a lot about why he wasn't happy in life. So that was, you know, we forgave him.
Rough life, yeah, for sure. So you want to play us a song?
Sure.
Are we making you too nervous?
What song do you want to play?
Nate?
Y'all ought to be here right now. Everybody here, is, with the exception of Nate, is nervous right now because me and Kathy feel like we're sitting in the presence of greatness, and she's...
Well, you are.
Just, yeah. We, she just... We are.
We're not talking about you, man.
No, I...
You know, so we were talking to somebody not too long ago, and we were talking about the music that's coming out of East Texas and North Texas in this area. And somebody goes, I won't repeat who they were because there was some other conversation going on. But he goes, man, there's about two or three people that are going to just truly make it. Ryder Grime, Bailey Ray, and Grace Partridge. Yep. And I mean, it was just absolute. He was so, and this guy's way up. Wow. And he was just straight across the board. Didn't even stutter when he said it.
Yep.
So I have no doubt.
That's really sweet.
I mean, you've got so much talent.
Thank you.
You know, but you've worked hard for it. I mean,
it's hard to think about how long of a veteran you are of just music.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've done anything for 15 years. I've been a teacher for 18 years or 20 years, and I haven't even taught the same thing that long. 15 years is a long time to do something.
Yeah.
So are you burned out yet?
My back's starting to hurt. But yeah.
She's an old soul, but she has the back of an 80-year-old.
I think it actually is because of my bow arm. It's right on that shoulder blade. There's a lot of tension.
Oh, I can play for about 10 minutes and I got to stop for a bit. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It gets hard.
Yeah. So you play the fiddle, of course. You play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Mandolin. I used to have a ukulele, but I sold it to my cousin because I didn't play it a lot. I'm learning how to play the steel guitar. Emphasis on the learning part.
That's a complicated instrument.
We have heard that playing the steel guitar is like flying a helicopter into Fallujah. It's really complicated.
Probably true.
You know, I mean, you got these knee things and you got both hands going and you got both feet going.
Yeah.
And the average age for a steel guitar player right now is like 65 years old. Yeah. So it's a lost art.
So all you young musicians out there, do you want to be in high demand? Learn how to play the steel.
Yeah, go drop you a couple $1,000 on a used steel guitar. Sure. Yeah.
And then spend 3 years learning how to play one song.
All right. Speaking of song, what are you going to play for us?
So about that, I'll just start out with my, new single. I mean, I guess it's not really new. It came out in November.
That's pretty new.
I Hate Myself for Loving You. Well, I saw you last night, holding her hand so tight. To miss you, but I do, and I know you aren't mine. But I wish you were sometimes, and I hate myself for loving you. I fell in love with you. Did you ever love me too, or am I a fool?
was awesome. It was.
Man, I hate the way I sound through these microphones.
Oh yeah, you definitely don't have to. You don't have to worry. Sorry, you're good.
I was kind of having this weird picture. Y'all may not know what they are. We used to call them chicken feeder mics. They were little circles with a little. You know what I mean? From the 40s
old
and 30s.
From the 40s, yeah.
And I pictured that in a piano bar. Yeah. I really did. I was just like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those hats that has like the mesh that covers half.
Oh.
Yeah.
You totally should rock that instead of the cowboy hat.
In a speakeasy that has this wallpaper. I'm going to bring up the wallpaper like four more times.
No, That's enough.
But yeah, it was very much of a 40s, almost 30s, just.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Yes. I wanted to dance. That was really hard. Yeah, for sure. Man.
We like to dance.
We do. But I love the song.
Thank you.
So tell me, let's talk about you writing. And
yeah, how do you get inspiration for something like this? It's not like, you know, you hear it on the radio or you hear it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you got a bunch of 77s or 45s sitting around somewhere. Or reels.
I do.
I mean, not even 8-tracks would do this.
No.
You know, I mean, yeah, you're talking like way back. Mm-hmm. Old Victoria, you got to crank it up. You know.
I guess, I don't even know what. I guess it's just like any other song. If you have an idea and you want to write it, then just write it, you know. I've never really had issues with writing in old style. I don't want to, you know, I don't even know what I'm saying. It's been easy for me to kind of hone that old style because that's what I'm always listening to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, I mean, it does. It literally just, it feels like you step back in time when we listen to your music.
That's the goal. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And the nice thing about music is it is circular. I mean, people don't get this, you know, thank God member only jackets are not circular, but music is circular. We come back to that old genre, you know, the new generation hasn't heard it. They hear it. It's just good music, you know? Yeah. So. What was that?
It was your watch.
Was it my watch?
His watch. So he got an Apple Watch for Christmas. And
hate that thing.
And it talks to him and it won't shut up sometimes. It's like
Snoopy
like
is walking on your watch. And I'm like, I could care less. Yeah.
Take a little picture of Snoopy and stuff.
But literally it tells you what Snoopy's doing out loud. He's blind and he can't see his watch. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. My son-in-law set it up for me.
Yeah, I know we can't fix it.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I'm not very good technically with stuff like that.
No, yeah. Not at all. Mm-hmm. No, and our son got it all.
So you have a bunch of 45s laying around. What do you like?
Well, I have, actually, Nate gave me a stack of 45s the other day.
Some that I knew would
be
more appreciated in her collection than mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some Vern Gosden.
There was a Bob Wills record.
There was
Bob Wills and Mel Tillis. I mean,
oh my gosh,
together,
yeah,
together
on the same 45, Deep in the Heart of Texas, and Faded Love.
Yeah,
I forgot all about Mel
Tillis. That's how much I love Grace, is I gave her that record.
Yeah, and I've never seen that in my whole life.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So
wow,
I have that. I have a lot of vinyl in my room. I've got probably a stack this high now.
Oh, I love
that. I thought
that.
She said,
that's
she was
like
going to say
3 feet for all people who are listening.
I've got a problem, which she does. You know,
I do.
Well,
have,
oh, I've got a, probably
it's
a stack.
It's a good,
but you do have a problem.
It's a good problem.
It is
have.
A good problem to have.
I have. I think I've got almost every one of Merle Haggard's vinyls.
See, we collect them, but we collect very, very specific albums. You know that are just, I don't know, means something specifically to us. Mm-hmm. Or we'd have thousands and thousands of them.
Yeah.
I only collect artists that are dear to me. So
I still can't get over Mel Tillis. Tillis was my grandmother's favorite one. And to tell you how long ago this was, she was born in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, that tells you, I mean, we're talking like Mel Tillis was like, he started in the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe late 40s. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Huh.
And then he became a movie star. That's where most of my generation knew him was. He got into movies. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And they made fun of his stuttering. you know, because he stuttered real bad.
I only know him as music. I don't even remember movies.
Yeah, he's in a lot of movies.
That's interesting.
Cowboy movies.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, the trucker stupid
quasi
stuff.
Quasi.
Yeah.
I have a really funny story about Miltillis, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. So back when I first started discovering all those country artists, like we were talking about earlier, I found Miltillis when I was just watching video after video of all of these old country stars. And I was like, ooh, who's this one? He's funny. Cause you know, he did use his stutter, to his advantage. He made it sort of a comedy act, and it was really, really cool to see that, you know, somebody, doing that sort of thing with something that most people see as, you know, something terrible. He made a laugh out of it, and it brought a lot of people's spirits up. But anyway, I was looking and I found a Whataburger commercial from Miltillis. And I was like, where is this place? I have to go.
The Whataburger? Yes. You've never been to a Whataburger?
Yes.
Oh, no, no, no.
Because I was living in Idaho and I was like, what in the world is this? I will have to send you this commercial because it...
I swear, I remember that commercial from whenever I was a kid.
Yeah.
I really think I do.
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever get you a Whataburger?
I did. First trip to Texas, I was like, please take me to a Whataburger. I have to go. And so I was with Joey McKenzie and he drove us in his... Oh man, I can't even remember what car he had, but it was a really old car. So we drove this really old car to Whataburger and we went and sat in there. It was so fun. I felt like I was in the 50s again.
I don't know how many friends have come out of state, they've never been to Texas, and they're like, what's a Whataburger? It's like, not Whataburger, it's what a burger.
Well, people say what a burger, but I think it's Whataburger.
It is Whataburger.
Everybody else says Whataburger.
It's funny how we say it wrong, and then they're like, what's Whataburger? And then we get mad at them.
Yeah.
What a burger.
Yeah, it's what a burger.
Well, I'm pretty sure you said Whataburger, man.
Whataburger.
But get it straight.
But
you know?
You're wrong.
No, yeah.
I don't know.
Miltillis said Whataburger, so.
Yeah, it is. It's a Whataburger.
So,
but it's a Whataburger. It's a Whataburger.
I'm trying to think of what movie I saw him on. Maybe it was Cannonball Run.
Maybe. I don't remember. Smokey and the Bandit, something like that.
I'm sure it was something like
something
that.
Something like that, I'm sure.
That was Jerry Reed.
I know Jerry Reed was on there. Yeah.
I didn't like Jerry Reed.
What?
I didn't. I don't know. His songs were... I liked him as an actor, but as a performer, I don't know. I'll tell you off why he irritated me.
Oh, now I'm very interested.
I'll tell you off.
Okay,
it's kind of vulgar, so I'll tell you.
Oh, then tell us later. Yeah, we don't need any vulgarity on here.
But no, I liked him as an actor. Smokey and the Bandit, of course, one of my favorite movies.
So you, ma'am, are very sweet and just so. Pure seeming, I mean, I'm assuming, but you know, just so just like you said, you know, rainbows and butterflies and unicorns but you're going and playing in some
pretty seedy places
that, you know, and you're surrounded by a lot of not so pure and gentle people.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been playing like live shows and bars and stuff?
I mean, ever since I met Nate, he dragged me into the bar. It really is.
Well, okay, so I want to hear.
So Nate's a bad influence.
Nate's a bad influence.
Well, we were talking about this, and before we got on the air, you mentioned having PTSD about meeting a violin player.
About a violin player.
This is kind of germane to what we were talking about.
We were in Montana. What is that bar? It was West Yellowstone.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. At the Wild West Saloon.
Yeah.
And pizzeria.
That's not in Montana.
Wild West Saloon and West Pizzeria.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's West.
They did not have pizza in Wild West, guys. But okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just doing our thing, and then we get off stage and we're taking a break, and there's this group of seven drunk guys at this table, you know. Mm-hmm. And this guy was pretty hammered. He comes up to me and he says, "You know, you sound just like, if not better than the fiddle player from Shane Smith and the Saints. The only thing is he is shirtless in overalls. And the only thing that would make you better than him is if you were shirtless in overalls too.
And how old were you at this time?
17.
Okay. Okay.
17.
That's a little young. Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy behind him, he was like, come on, man. Are you kidding me right now?
And what's sad is the guy probably thought he was being really just charming.
Yeah. Yeah. He really thought he had all that.
I was just fixing to say, I'm glad Nate didn't hear it either.
Yeah. What? There's been a few instances in some bars where, like, I mean, we played the Stockyards and she was, you were 16, I think, we were playing the Armadillo or something. Yeah. And we'd finished, and it was like one of the one shows that my wife had showed up to. So we were done. The next act was going on. We're just hanging out. And it's me, my wife, and Grace just standing there off to the side. And this guy just comes walking up all confident and stands next to Grace. And he's like, looks like you could use a little bit of help over here. Looking at me, like, looks like you could use a little bit of help over here. So thought I'd come over, you know? And I was like, oh, this poor guy, you know? Because the Armadillo is 21 and up, you know, and a 16-year-old that's in there playing.
Right.
And so he had every reason, I guess, to assume that she was of age.
Who apparently, I look like a 40-year-old version of Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, that's what
That's what another guy at the Armadillo said.
Thank God you look like a 40-year-old like
40.
40-year-old version? What am I going to look like Grace when I'm 80?
Right.
You can pass for 12, honestly. Just saying.
Without my lashes, like, you should see me without these things.
Nate, I might have to get a picture of that.
Yeah, no, I put my arm around this guy and I kind of walked him away. I was like, hey, man, I know you like didn't mean to like sound like a pedophile, but she's 16. So. And he was like, oh, no, well, I didn't mean to. Like, I wasn't coming over here to, you know, to hit on her. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
you were.
Why else would you just come over? Like, yeah. And so most of the time I have to announce from the stage that, you know, now I don't have to tell everybody that she's 17 or 18.
Yeah.
And that we're not married.
But you still do. Yes. You still have to say that.
Because that's the other thing is after every show or even during our shows, are you two married? Like, no. Yeah. So at some point during the show, it's always like, this is Grace. She's my daughter.
My wife has 4 kids at home.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the route I would have said.
Yeah, and so it's
well, and that would have protected her a little bit because, you know, dads about their daughters can.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with it.
Really go off the deep end, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I always say, and boys, the answer is no. That's what I say from the stage. Well,
you know, we changed it, actually.
What did I say?
You say, well, she's 19 now, but boys, the answer is still no.
We interviewed Peyton Riley, little beautiful little 14-year-old, 15-year-old. Yeah. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh, my God, how dangerous is it for this little girl to be in there?
Yeah.
I mean, because we've heard some stories like Peyton Howie gave us one where it was just like, oh, my God. You know? I mean, full on bar fight stuff, you know, like, oh, my gosh. How do you stomach it?
How do you stomach it?
Well, I always have Nate with me.
Okay.
Nate or somebody else.
One of the guys,
an uncle. I like to say I have uncles all across the state of Texas, so I'm fine.
Even when my daughter was 19, when older men would come up and hit on her, mm-hmm. she would look at them and she would go, you know, I'm 14, right? Mm-hmm. And it would totally just, they would walk away, mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Because she looks 14.
But my daughter could fight.
Yeah.
So one time I went in there and like, she was asleep. So I kind of jumped on top of her and held the blanket down with my knees and was kind of smacking around a little bit, not hard, just teasing her. And the next thing I know, I'm on my back. Just, I told her this stuff, how to do this stuff.
Grace is strong. She's, you know, she's always the one lifting the subs, even though she throws her back out and has to like put the seat heater on the whole way home.
I'm always the one lifting the subs, even though I'm the one in the dress.
Right. No, Grace could handle herself. Like all the boys she's dated, she can squat more than them. Like she dates all these chicken leg boys, but
know that her boyfriend's probably going to listen to this, right?
Oh, I know.
Oh, he seemed like a nice kid. I liked him.
Yeah, we met him at your birthday party.
Extremely polite.
We don't have to talk too much about him, but you know, oh, I was just talking about how much, like how strong Grace
this is. The part she where really you is. Shush.
So,
I love it. It's so funny. So, how did you and Nate meet?
Yeah, because you're in Idaho and you're not from Idaho, are you?
No.
He lived there for 5 years.
Yeah, did I was there you? For 5 years. I was there just
why
on a business adventure. I was running a business there and just one summer, some people asked me to play rodeo in Southern Idaho. And so I knew a guy who played bass who was connected with her fiddle teacher. And I was like, hey, do you know anybody that plays fiddle that could come play the show? And he goes, well, I know this girl she's 15. And I was like, okay, do you have anybody else? Like, I don't want to deal with a 15-year-old. You know?
Totally understandable.
And he's like,
I'm just saying.
Well, she's a 5-time national champion fiddle player. I said, cool, what's her number? Like, let's call this girl.
So you'd won all of those by the time you were 15? How old were you when you won your first one?
7.
Shut up. No, really, don't shut up. She went, okay, what now? Is it over?
And I know somebody sitting there listening to this going, well, she just got God-given talent and she just was born playing the fiddle. And I'm truly believing now, I'm reading this book, and I'm truly believing that's just not the case.
She did three times a week from the time she was four.
Everybody I've seen that's truly amazing at something, they put in the time. And it sounds like you just put in the time.
I did put in a lot of time, but I do believe that, you know, God gives us all gifts. And
I agree with that too.
And, you know, it's up to us to find out what those gifts are and hone them, you know, hone your crafts.
I'd love to say that, but I'm God's little joke, so I don't think I got a gift.
God, stop it.
Yeah, when I die, we're going to have a talk. I'm going to go, really? You couldn't give me one bone? I mean, come on, something.
You married me.
Yeah. But
that's the second time she's had to say that today.
Yeah. Well, she will bring up before long that she was only 19 when we got married.
No, I think that we talked about that earlier. Oh, did you? Because Grace is 19.
Yeah.
Oh God, I feel so bad now.
No.
We were talking about 15. How it's not recommended.
Yeah.
It's recommended.
It was by the grace of God.
Yeah, she does.
We are still together.
Yeah, she does the quote thing though. It worked for me. Oh, no. Got to do the quotes.
And about now, if our 17-year-old was here, he'd be like, "So, Dad, are you sleeping on the couch tonight?"
Yeah.
I've never made him sleep on the couch, but Jimmy thinks that that's just when Dad talks too much, he gets punished.
You know, being married 31 years, it's hard. It's really rough.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of good times. I wouldn't trade it for nothing, but the world has tried to come against between us so many times.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, jobs, people. It's hard. Nobody wants to see somebody married for 31 years in this society. I don't know what the deal is.
No. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, putting in the time and effort to get good at playing the fiddle. Mm-hmm. You have to put the time and the effort into your marriage to have a good marriage, too. Yeah.
And there's been some times she absolutely was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I married this guy. He's in the emergency room again.
No. I don't take you to the emergency room. What do you mean? No.
I'll have something sticking out of me and she'll be like, oh, walk it off.
It'll be fine. No.
Put some dirt on it.
So you're in the process of putting together an EP, right? Mm-hmm. Album.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll turn into something.
It's gonna turn. So have you thought about are you gonna put it out on vinyl when you get a full length?
Yeah, I want to.
You should, 100%.
I would kill to find a way to be able to start pressing vinyl for people. I think it's going to be the next big thing.
It is the next big thing.
Yeah.
But it's expensive.
People are going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't beat the way that a vinyl sounds on a turntable.
Nope. I agree with you, 100%.
But I always thought it was because I just enjoyed it because that was my childhood, was vinyl. You know what I mean? You know, I still love 8-tracks.
Very nostalgic.
Yeah.
Well, like I hear the big click on an 8-track, which I know you don't even know what an 8-track is, but the big click on it.
She's giving you a look.
Well, most people don't. Most people do not know. Like if I handed you...
I'm not most people.
That's true. You know, like if I put a pencil down and said, what do you use this for, cassette? Everybody in my generation would know to fix the cassette, you know, with a pencil. And most people don't know that, you know. But yeah, I miss the click in the middle of, you know.
So back to when you guys met. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
15-year-old, and you're like, okay.
Yeah. You know. So we got together and we played the that rodeo in Oakley, Idaho. And after that,
it was 3 years ago.
Played some weddings.
Yep.
Here and there. And
then he was stuck with me.
Yeah. And I ended up moving back to Texas in 2021, and we'd kind of said goodbye to Grace. Like, it was like I was coming back, I was going to start playing music. You know, she was 16. I didn't know when I was going to see her again. Oh, and it was
kind of sad.
It was sad, you know. And I think we'd had a good relationship to that point, where obviously we weren't as close then as we are now. But you know, we left, said goodbye, came back. I started playing music January of 21, and then April, I get a phone call, and she's in Fort Worth, and she's like, "You can't tell anybody, but like my family's down here looking at houses." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What?" You know. And so they just kind of a couple months later decided to move down to Texas, and so she moved to Godly. And like the second she got settled in, I was like, "You want to come play some gigs at some bars downtown in the Stockyards?" You know, so scooped her up to these places, we've been there's a lot more to this story, but like we've been playing together for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been awesome, honestly. Like, I was going through some like videos and photos and stuff just the other day, and I was telling her today, actually, like, she's grown up so much, you know, in the last 3 years. And it's just crazy how the time flies, and you guys know how that goes, you know. Oh, yeah. When you have kids. Yeah. and Grace is very much a part of our family now. We have whenever I say I have four kids at home on stage, she looks at me, he's like, "Four?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry, five. We have five kids."
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Grace is part of the family, but we only have four kids at home. Like,
my wife's at home with the four other kids, you know, but Grace is our.
No, what you say.
Well, I've corrected it.
I have four kids.
I made a few mistakes, but I've since corrected it. Right. We have five. But Grace, I mean, the kids, whenever Grace comes home, she, you know, they run to her and give her a hug, and her and Presley, my second oldest daughter.
She's actually the first. I'm the zeroth.
Yeah.
Because I can't be the first. Because
right. That you don't want to take it away from her.
From her. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm zero.
We had a dog that when we were pregnant, we ended up with a dog and we named it Zero.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because our first one was going to be our first. So
that's cool.
Dog Zero. Was Zero.
That's
so, yeah.
Awesome.
That's cute.
Look at that.
It was funny. See, it was, there you go. They neutered him. You know, they normally tattoo the dog.
He's really Zero then.
They neutered. Well, they tattooed a Zero on it with a little slap.
Yeah.
So.
He's double Zero.
Whatever happened to that dog?
It ran away. That?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
What did you say?
I said he's double Zero.
Yeah.
Can you cut that?
Cool.
That dog ran away, and we found it like a month later. And
at the neighbor's house.
Yeah, and the kids fell in love with it, so we let them
have it. Yeah. Well, I mean, because, you know, they were like four and five, and they loved the dog.
I was leaving
her dog back from two kids.
We were leaving town anyway, and I had just voluntold to quit as a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was asked to... Yeah, we don't want you to work here no more.
That's okay. I don't want you to be a policeman anymore. Anyway.
Yeah.
I get that.
And so we left town, and so it worked out really well.
Yeah. So you finished high school. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you any college?
No.
Okay.
What's wrong with $90,000 in debt?
You don't have to do that, but.
Get you a job or get you a degree in, like, I don't know, Frisbee studies or something for 90 grand, like everybody else is doing.
No. Yeah. No, you know, so many of the musicians that we talk to have a gold ring from A&M.
A lot of them.
And I'm like, you know how mad I would be if I was your parent that I paid for that education just so you could go and be a musician when you didn't have to have that education to go and be a musician. I mean, college isn't for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Normally we talk about like stuff like, you know, what's your dream places to play, but you've already played the Grand Ole Opry.
I have, yeah.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, that's like...
Tell me that
dreams.
Story.
Well, I want to be able to play there one day more than 45 seconds, but...
You played 45 seconds?
The story.
What did you do?
Did you run on the stage and play 45 seconds before they tackled you?
No.
See some 300-pound guys.
That's funny. But no.
Get her out of here.
So there's a fiddle contest in Nashville. It's called the Grandmasters Fiddles competition, fiddle competition. And if you win it, you get to go play on the Opry, and they have this special like 5-minute segment where all these fiddle players come on and they play, and you get 45 seconds. I took a minute by accident.
You're a diva.
Because I did. I can't like put a timer on my phone and put it on the floor and be like, okay, I gotta stop right here and then just end the song. You know, you gotta do all the parts, right? So I think mine ended up being a little longer than 45 seconds, but that's okay. But the funny thing is that I got second place at this fiddle competition, and the guy that won it couldn't make it the next year to play the Opry. And I was like, at first I was like, how on earth?
I mean, unless you're dying or dead or somebody. Yeah,
I really hope that is not the case,
right,
with them. But I was really grateful.
I could see him standing outside.
That call.
So you got the call to go back?
Call, and they were like, hey, like Miles can't make it this year. Can you play? And I was like, duh.
Find out years later he stood in line to get some like Air Jordans or something. <You know?
laughs> So no, really, what
I
did
took
you,
him out.
What did you? That's what I was like. Yeah. So really, what did you do, Grace? Fine. What did you do to him?
No, he's fine.
I'd have to look him up now. I'd be kind of worried.
So you got to go back and play again. That's when you got to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
But it's still amazing. I mean, people wait their whole life to. I mean, just even be in the building.
Yeah.
I mean,
I did.
I've stood outside of it and just looked at it.
Yeah, but how long was that like? 14, 16
years.
You know, and that's what's funny is you did. I mean, it's like you literally. People put in 15 and 20 years to get there, yeah. But you already had done that. Yeah. You had already put in, yeah, you know, 12 years by that time.
Nate told me that exact same thing.
It's one of the most clever responses she's ever
had. I was going to say, I was there. I was going to say, because I know that you probably did not have this personality and sense of humor until you really started hanging around with this guy.
That's very true.
I bet that you were. So when you first met him, what did you think? Because I know, I mean, because how old were you when you met him?
15.
But I bet that you were very just probably pretty sheltered, probably sweet.
Very quiet.
Yeah, quiet.
Was I really?
I bet you were.
I thought we got along.
We got along, but you were so quiet.
But yeah, you had to have thought, what in the world?
No, I thought he was cool. I honestly, we hit it. I thought we hit it off.
We did.
And I mean, especially after we moved to Texas, you know, we spent all that time driving, going and doing duo shows and stuff like that. You know, I never really went, who the heck is this guy? I never did that. I know some people kind of do that to you, Nate. They're like, what the heck is wrong with you?
I don't even know yet.
But the truth is like, me and Nate, we're the same person. Like, there have been times, where were we? We were in Colorado. We had to stay in a hotel, and you know, he was on a different floor than I was, but we got on the elevator and we were wearing the exact same outfit.
I had a dress on and everything.
No, we were both wearing green pants, our boots, and a black shirt and a hat. I don't know how that happened, but we both
we've had a lot of those moments.
Revisit those green pants.
Finishing each other's sentences, like thinking the same thing at the same time. You know. We say the same thing
at the same time. And
well, before I met Nate, you know, I had heard of you numerous times, and the word that kept coming up was genuine. That's a word that always came up. It was like, man, you're going to love him. He's so genuine. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I guess I got to meet him. And then I talked to you for like 45 minutes. I think it was your birthday party.
My birthday party.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, why can't I have people in my life like this? Yeah. You know, I mean, and I'm being honest. Yeah. It's really hard to find people that are genuine anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And boy, I got a lot. Ever since I've been back in music, it's really like Jeff Canada is one of our best friends now. And it's so nice to just have people that are just decent folk,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Not like when I was in music in the 80s, man. Everybody was strung out on everything they could get.
Nate helped me through one of the hardest times of my life. My parents got separated.
Uh-huh.
And they got divorced last November. So it's been almost a year and a half now, I guess. Or I guess a year and 2 months. Oh my gosh, math. But we moved to Texas originally because they wanted kind of a fresh start to work things out. And that led to a lot of hard times. And there would be times where I'd come to the gigs kind of off, and Nate asked me about it one time, and I opened up, and, you know, it turned out that, you know, Nate could relate sort of. And, you know, that's why I say now, like, we're kind of the same person. Mm. And he, since he had gone through, you know, something similar to what I've been going through at the time, he was really able to help, you know, kind of guide me through it. And so.
God was looking out for you. Put you guys in each other's paths. Yeah.
Grace is a good kid. I mean, there's, you know, I think everybody goes through something, right? Like, all of our problems in our life are unique to us, and and from our own standpoint, mm-hmm. they're the only thing that really matters. And sometimes we can feel like nobody understands what we're going through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and honestly, that's not true. But a lot of adults can just get angry over their situation. And, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, those formative years for right. everybody. And to have such a hard time, you know, at the point of your life where you should be hanging out with friends and having so much fun in high school, and she's getting moved around from state to state, new high school, and folks, you know, separating, and just it was a really tough time for her. And, you know, she has every reason to be angry at the world, you know, because mm-hmm. some years were kind of stolen from her, you know, and had every reason to be an idiot teenager and do dumb things and make mistakes and, you know, lash out. And a lot of kids in her position would, but, you know, Grace really is, like, as you said at the top, like, she's a good person. She's just a good soul. And, you know, we talked through a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of things where I'm like, hey, you know, this is what's going on and this is how you can react. But I mean, it's a big ask for a kid that's 16 or 17 to parent your parents mm-hmm. and understand really like the bigger picture of what's going on mm-hmm. and to take that on and behave in a way that's going to improve the situation, because really this isn't your responsibility. It should be theirs. Like, and she's honestly, you know, handled it in a way where, I mean, she's gained my respect as a person, you know, watching her go through this. And, you know, we already love her for a myriad of reasons. You know, she's funny and talented, and she
you
just,
think I'm funny.
You are you're funny. You are funny.
Yes.
You say funny things. And, we also laugh at you, but, you know, but she got through a really, really tough thing and came out of it, like, you know, relatively unscathed and with a purpose and direction, and, you know, still in a position where she's going to do great things in life. It's not going to set her back. And so, you know, you see somebody go through something like that, and I've been able to watch it almost, you know, from, you know, the early stages of it to even now, where, you know, she's going to be taken off and pursuing her own things in life and being a grown up and an adult. you know, it's a whole new respect I have for her and just who she is as a person. And so, you know, proud of her for so many things, but, you know, especially for that, because it was a hard thing to go through, and it was not an ideal childhood to kind of wrap things up in your high school years. And so she really is a good person, and she, you know, she really does deserve all the things that are coming to her. And I keep telling her that she's going to be great. She's got great things in store. And I believe it, you know, just because of who she is and how talented she is. And, you know, she's going to have the people along with her in her life that are going to help her get there. So just, sorry to take up so much time, but this is how I feel about her, you know, like, And I think every chance I get, I brag about Grace, not just because we all see how good she is musically. We all hear how awesome she is on the fiddle, how her songwriting is as good as it. I have as much respect for her as a songwriter as anybody in my life. And I think she's only going to get better. And, you know, there's all those things that are just kind of obvious on its face, but I've been able to see a whole other side of her where she really is a good person that just deserves these things. So,
well, as you make all of us cry,
I'm not crying. So I got allergies.
Well, you know,
it's onions in here.
Yeah.
You know, my dad told me one time, he goes, you know, he goes, you're going to go through some stuff. You went through some stuff. And, you know, it's, I asked him about, you know, of course, my dad had one of those really horrible childhoods. Mine was bad, but a little bit better than his. But to relate to somebody, it's hard, you know, but you realize that, you know, you could walk around with these 50-pound sacks of pain, or you can set them down and go about your life. And that's something that my father told me one time before he died. But the big one was, is he told me to, hey, just remember, you know, I made a bunch of mistakes, but I'm just a man, you know, and that helped out, you know. But I'm glad you're in music. I am thoroughly glad you're in music, because I think the world would be less of a place if you weren't playing music. I really do. It's amazing. When we watched you, what was the name of that? Jack Ruby's?
Yeah.
Is that the name of it? Mm-hmm. Well, then we got this Lee Harvey and Jack, you know, all these bars and stuff that are named after these guys now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But no, I love Jack Ruby's. It was a great place.
It was a really cool place.
Yeah.
But your stage presence and your music ability and your sound
your
and
facial
your
facial expression. I mean, you're so you have.
That's my Buck Owens.
But you know, she was like,
it's okay.
My wife loves to dance. She's always got me up dancing. And the whole time she's like, hey, are we going to dance to this? I'm like, but I'm watching this. This is amazing. I was just, you know, yeah, I was just thoroughly mesmerized by watching you play.
Thank you.
And I did dance with her.
Yeah. A couple times.
Yeah.
A couple times.
I saw y'all.
Until the guy with that watched the, what's the video, Show Her Off, came out there and started running into everybody.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, there's always that guy. You know what I mean? That takes up the whole dance floor, runs into everybody, slings his girlfriend around.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Was it Nate? Are you talking about
Nate? No, it wasn't Nate. It wasn't Nate. It was
not Nate. You almost pour some water, Grace.
Do you realize?
You got me mid-sip there.
Do you realize how many musicians were there that night? Not just your band, but I'm talking about people that just came by to see you.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I made Billy Joe come. I was like, you better come.
We love Billy Joe.
She got me a cake.
She did. She was asking, she's like, did anybody get her a cake? She got me a cake too for my birthday.
She's
just the sweetest. She is. Yeah.
Yeah, the owner and the manager of Jack Ruby's, they were blown away by the people that were getting up and singing. You know, I was talking to him and he's just like, what is going on? You know, like,
dude.
Yeah.
Like the band's phenomenal. And then, you know, Billy Joe got up.
Ryder.
Everybody, you know, and you. It's just like.
And it, you.
And there, and he was just like, you know, it's like this is Nashville where like everybody comes up and everybody can sing and play or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and they're like, this is the best night we've had so far. I mean, they were thoroughly impressed.
Oh, yeah.
With the level of talent that was there. It was cool. Dude.
And as somebody, you know, like if I was a vineyard owner, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so cool because I'm not having to pay for all this talent.
I don't even think they realize how much that would have cost them, for the people that were there.
For my birthday party.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many people were like, oh my gosh, you know, we need to do this more often. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I mean, the people that showed up on a random Thursday
to come
and hang out with us. And thank you. We'd only met you one time before and you showed up.
The manager how can I get this to happen? I'm like, about 30 grand.
A lot of money.
I sat down and figured it out. All the musicians that were there, if they all played a set, it would be about 15 grand, 12 grand, somewhere around there, just for one night. I'm like, y'all guys are so lucky.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But that was a good little bar. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like it. They had good food.
I love the fact. I love the love between you guys. And I just think that was the sweetest thing what you said. And I wish I would have had a video. But
good thing we weren't recording that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. I got to push record.
I have a. Oh, no.
No, he's joking.
I actually have a camera back there. So just kidding.
We used to have these Bevo cameras that we would like videotape on. Mm. And we have like, I don't know, 500 hours of video that I've never figured out how to edit. Mm. So that's my next step.
Yeah.
I still,
you know. Well, I had to learn all this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
You want to play us another song?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of in that mood.
Good.
I was introducing this song once on stage, and I was talking about how, you know, about the separation between my parents, and I was the youngest kid, so I kind of felt like, you know, like I was alone through it. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this song actually before I met Nate. But I was introducing this song and I was like, you know, I never really knew who was going to look after me because I was on my own. And Nate turned to me and he was like, I will. And it just, you know, the relationship that we've had was like a father-daughter relationship, you know. My dad's a traveling guy. He's everywhere. Nate's just been, you know, the one who's just always there, and he knows, you know, exactly what I've gone through. And it's no diss on my dad, you know, but anyway, this song is called Who Will Look After Julie. I've had a number of heartaches, but the one that killed me was you. And you said that you loved another. It was awful what you put me through. And I forgave you too soon. Little did I know, you weren't telling the truth. And now our little girl is crying. What are we gonna do? And who will look after Julie while we're over here fighting? After Julie, who'll keep her from crying? We're spiraling out of control. How can we take a hold of Julie who can't comprehend? When will all this end? And who will look after Julie while we're over here fighting? Keep her from crying.
Dang, I love that song.
Thank you.
When you played that song at your birthday party, I did. I cried.
Oh. It's a cryable song. It really is. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it hits home for me. Because I was the baby and my parents got divorced.
Oh. That song, I'm actually in the middle of recording that song right now. Mm. We put some really sad piano on it. And I'm really excited because, you know, at first we were kind of struggling with the vision for the song. And I remember, you know, we were recording and I was like, hey guys, you know, like this is the story behind the song, you know, let's try again. Mm. And what we came up with was, I mean, it hits home.
Oh, I cannot
I'll tell
wait.
You. Yeah.
I cannot so, wait to hear it.
That one will be probably, March or what's 2 months after March? July?
May.
May. Yeah. May.
It was coming pretty quick.
Math.
I can't math today.
As a musician, not an accountant. Thank goodness.
So, you know, I just have this image of you being in the studio, though, with all these Okay, again, seasoned musician. I know you have like 15 years of playing, mm-hmm. but some of these guys I'm sure have 30 and 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're having to direct these guys. You're having to tell them your vision.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, that's a tall order.
I mean, you were kind of nervous about being here. I mean, has it been intimidating working with all of these greats? No. Or are you just?
Not really, because all of them are just so nice. And I've gotten to be, you know, pretty good friends with a lot of the guys that I work with. And they all, you know, they all really like young musicians.
Helping them and mentoring them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been really blessed to have a lot of these guys, you know, that are really grateful that I'm trying to preserve this music. And so it hasn't really been intimidating, as much as it's been an honor. Just,
oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I've been there for a few of the sessions and she just looks like she's very much in her element, you know, and they are seasoned. And on top of that, like none of them have an ego. They're all there for what's best for the song and what's best for the music. And, you know, the environment that is happening there every time that I've been is just, it's been phenomenal, you know, and it's been kind of cool because getting into the studio for the first time, you know, cutting your first record, make a lot of mistakes and, you know, you're very green at that because recording is a whole different thing.
It is. It's so different.
So different. But she, you know, she's seemed very much in her element and, you know, sometimes you don't always know the direction, but you know it when you hear it. And they've been able to kind of lean on each other in different parts and find where they want to go. And everything's turning out great so far.
I love it.
I'm excited for her because she's going to be putting out some great music.
I'm excited.
Thanks, Nate.
So, all right, who wants to tell a funny story? You can tell a funny story, or you can tell a funny story.
You have a list of funny stories.
Do you? You literally keep a list of funny stories.
Funny stuff happens on the road.
Literally
she writes
titled
it down.
"Hysterical Gigs Shenanigans."
Oh my gosh!
That's an awesome idea.
It's pretty long.
I don't remember any of them until she starts reminding me.
You don't remember any of them, but we go through these in the car sometimes while we're driving.
A lot of them are inside jokes, but we. We've had some laughs.
Oh my gosh. These are so good.
All right. I cannot wait.
How much do you want me to read?
Man.
Just pick
almost got in a fist fight with somebody.
What they do to you, Grace, for him to almost get into a fist fight.
No, that was a personal.
Oh, okay.
Because you were trying to, somebody was bullying one of your friends and you went and stopped it.
Oh.
And this guy almost came and fought you.
Did he?
Yeah, he came up and he was threatening you on stage.
Oh, on stage?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything. I have the memory of a fish.
Yeah.
Nate doesn't drink, so it's not because he's been drinking. He just doesn't remember because so much. How long have you been doing this, Nate?
So, I mean, I moved back in 21. I've been doing it full time for 3 years. I cut a record and released it in 2012. It was the same year that I started my pest control company. Uh-huh. So I just released it because I had an opportunity. My buddy opened a phenomenal studio in Houston called Wire Road Studios. And I was like the first person to record there as kind of the guinea pig, cool. You know, make sure all the things are wired up right and all that. And, so I put a record out, but I didn't really push it, you know, or go get, you know, tour it or anything like that. I just started a company. And, so my first one was like 2012, I guess, but really, you know, I decided to go full time and be poor about 3 years ago.
And be poor.
Which one did you find?
All right, what you got, Grace?
Sorry, I'm cracking up over here. Okay, this is a quote from Nate. I don't know. We were going to go move somebody. We were moving somebody out of their house.
Okay.
Okay.
And the weather was just crappy. And he said, there's not a good day to move, but I'm going to go there and I'm going to have an attitude about it.
She's like, it's just an attitude? I'm like, not a good one, not a bad one. I'm like, no, I'm just going to go.
It was one time. There was one time that, I came downstairs and you asked me if I wanted to make a video and then you looked me up and down and you were like, later.
I'm surprised you didn't actually put that on video.
Do you want to make a video? Maybe later sometime.
That's later, yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll rope her into like a TikTok video or recording a song or something like that. So,
if you guys don't follow Nate Burnham on TikTok and see some of his videos, you are freaking missing out because it is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You know, the best time we had with you was when you and Chris were up there. It was... I was waiting for...
Oh, so that was when Jeff Canada and Trent Cowie were playing at Sweetwater and y'all were playing the break. And I was waiting for something to happen between the two of you guys.
And as much as I love Chris, he is 100% the exact opposite.
That's so funny. Yeah.
He's a really nice guy, guys. Oh, we're not saying anything bad about his...
I love Chris.
But he's an incredible songwriter.
He's a cusser and he's a drinker and he's a wild and crazy talker. And then there's Nate, who's hilarious, but you're a straight-laced, pretty, you know, by the book kind of guy. And
an introvert. You are a very much introvert.
I would have guessed that.
Those words and Nate Burnham do not go together.
They don't, honestly, but like...
He is.
You know, on stage and meeting people, he's... you would never think that, but like... But I think there are some things where you want to be alone.
Like, I do spend time in the woods.
You would be fine not talking to another person again.
Right, me and a dog or just by myself. Yeah, no, I'm very much okay being alone.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've noticed that a lot of musicians are not who they are on stage. Yeah. With the exception of Dallas with the Chad Cook. He's the only person I've ever met that's exact same. Everybody else is like, well, I was talking to Kevin one day before show, and he's like this graphics nerd, you know, but on stage, he's this, you know, just outlandish. Mm-hmm. It's just never the same. It's almost like, it's almost like a second personality sometimes.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, and honestly, I still feel like I'm being myself up there, you know, and I'm still cracking my jokes and I feel like I'm still being me, but I think it's hard for me to do small talk with people where if we're having a conversation and there's some substance to it, I always get like really interested in it, but when it's superficial and just, I don't know, time consuming, I lose interest and then it becomes hard to engage and my brain just kind of shuts down.
Yeah.
The only other person I know is like the same exact on stage as he is off stage is Cody Johnson. Like I was with Jody. I went and saw them at Corpus Christi. They opened for Lee Bryce. It was years ago. And then we were hanging out at Concrete Street afterwards. And that was like kind of, I've known Jody for a while. He plays fiddle for him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And met Cody, but I was just kind of hanging out with everybody there at the table. And Cody was 100 miles an hour, cracking jokes all over the place, loud, having a great time. And I'm sitting there and I turned to Jody. I'm like, he's the exact same person on stage as he is off stage. And he goes, yep,
all the time.
100%. Wow. Like that is him, 100 miles an hour, all the energy in the world, you know. And I was like, it was interesting to see because I wonder those things, you know,
like
it's always interesting to see the behind the scenes stuff when it comes to artists and are they cool? Do they sound as good on stage as they do on the record? You know, I have all my things
That's
that big. I want to know about people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was interesting to see him, you know, because after a show and after you've met people and talked and I want to decompress and crawl into a cubby and you know.
Well, I think so many people get up on stage and they give it their all, you know. And again, Chad Cook Band is the perfect example. They get up there and they give a show, and afterwards they're just like
spent.
Oh my gosh, I just want to sit.
Yeah,
you know. And I can see that. But like Jeff the other day after his birthday party, I mean, they all went to bed and Jeff
was still wired.
He was wired, and I'm like, y'all stay awake and talk with you. And then like 3 hours later, it's like four in the morning, five in the morning. We're like, okay, it's time to go to bed.
I can't do it. No, I'm old. Alrighty. So Grace, tell everybody where they can find you.
Grace Partridge. That's Partridge in a Pear Tree. That's my name.
See, I had to relate it to Partridge Family.
You can find me on Instagram. Oh, yeah, you can find me. I'm in the Partridge Family. Seriously, just kidding.
No, you're not. I promise.
Are you on TikTok?
Facebook, TikTok, yes.
I'll follow you on TikTok.
I am trying to get more videos on there.
Nate's I've been trying.
Nate's been trying to push me on that.
It's so easy if she just did like a 15, 20 second video every day
every
of her
day.
Playing fiddle.
Yeah. Oh, dude,
you'd have a big following.
I need to.
Oh,
I'll please. Do it. I will do it. New Year's goals. I'll do it. And then Facebook. And I think that's all I have.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Yeah. There's so many apps.
So you have your new song that's going to be coming out next is Ain't Nobody Got Time For That.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's going to be coming out probably in February. So this will be, it'll be out by the time this gets released for sure.
Are you going to follow it up with a I've Got Time For That Now?
I know.
A second song.
I know. I've got to make like a reprise or something like that and be like, well.
So when your relationship doesn't work out, do you do a Taylor Swift thing? I'm just asking.
Yeah,
or a Stevie Nicks, since somebody told you look like Stevie Nicks.
Dude.
Yeah, no, I've been called the Western Swing Taylor Swift twice by two random people.
You know, that's
she's an incredible songwriter. I don't care what anyone says.
That is not a bad thing for someone.
Ain't she like a billionaire?
By now, everybody should be on the Taylor Swift bandwagon. Like, she's a real talent.
She is a real talent, 100%. And from what I understand, just actually a genuine, nice person. And
didn't she like
care of her people? And
didn't she like dump a bunch of money to everybody that worked for her?
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, she probably just didn't want to hassle people quitting. You know,
that's what I hear. From what I hear, I mean, she's and she's good to her fans, and she, mm-hmm. I mean, she definitely knows how to put on a show. And
I've never
amazing
been
amazing songwriter, mm-hmm. amazing performer. She's got it going on. So I would just say thank you.
Yeah, I do usually.
But me and somebody were talking about this a while back. You know, there's already a George Strait. There's already a Leanne Rimes. There's mm-hmm. already a,
oh no, you're
you know,
definitely yeah, your
you're
own
not
person,
you're not 100%. Anybody. This is what's wild.
All of your sound is completely you.
Is most thank of the you. People I see, I can say, well, they remind me of a little bit, or they remind me of mm-hmm. a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anybody mm-mm. you remind me of. Oh, well, and but it's something I would go and see. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, maybe like a little bit of a Patsy Cline-ish, mm-hmm. a little bit of a, but I mean, anybody that's like, you know, oh, just a little bit of this mm-hmm. and a little bit of that. And all the people that were saying, it's like,
well, there's a song I used to hear as a kid. It was Who Gets the Family Bible. And you know, I'm thinking about songs like this and I'm just mm-hmm. like, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah.
You know? So it's got a little gospel feel to it in a lot of ways too.
Thank you.
You know, so I'm just impressed with your music and your fiddle playing and your guitar playing and your stage presence and everything. So. Yeah.
Thank you.
And the cool thing about her stage presence is that's the third time she's played full band when you guys came and saw her at her birthday party. That's the third time she's played full band. So
that was
natural.
Amazing.
I got to give it to you for having the upright bass, though. That just made my night. You know, nobody does that stuff anymore.
Right. So fiddle, upright bass, steel
guitar.
I mean, you had it all.
Yeah. We saw somebody play the bagpipes the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Bree Bagwell.
Yeah.
Allie.
Yeah, she actually, and it wasn't like the bagpipes you see.
It was electric.
It was this weird looking electric thing that looked like it would be in the hospital or something. Oh, it was really weird looking.
Very
but
interesting.
Yeah. But it's cool.
That's cool.
What song do you want to play us out on?
Oh, crap.
Your new one's coming out.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be out. Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Except for me. I'd love to sit down and be loved by a lover. I'd love to feel something so tender. And I'd love to be caressed by the one that I love best. For that love to pass the test. I'd love to be me and have somebody love me. I'd love to have somebody need me. And I'd love to get married and think this ain't so bad. But ain't nobody got time for that. I'm really not a rambler, just got too much to do. And I'm not about to gamble away my heart to you. Even though I'd love to be loved and have that love fit like a glove, ain't nobody got time for that. I'd love to bake a pie for the apple of my eye. I'd love to be so mesmerized. And I'd love to cook and clean taters, steak, and beans. And I'd love me a man who's long and lean. But really, this is what I mean. I'd love for real love, nothing but true love, and old-fashioned my kind of fool love. Three little kids, a babe on my lap. But ain't nobody, ain't nobody, I said ain't nobody got time for that. I'm really not a rambler, just got too much to do, and I'm not about to gamble away my heart to you. Even though I'd love to be loved and have that love fit like a glove, ain't nobody, ain't nobody, I said ain't nobody got time for that. Thank y'all.
That was phenomenal. Man, once again, I want to thank Grace Partridge and
I love her to death.
And Nate Burnham. We love Nate for opening up his house to us so we can record at his kitchen table.
Nate is just...
And his lovely wife.
You're just a better person for knowing Kirstie. Nate.
Huh?
You're just a better person for knowing Nate.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I love him and his wife together. And all their kids are amazing. I mean, they're just the sweetest, sweetest couple. And I just love it. I love watching people that... love each other and want to be around each other.
Have
and
a good relationship.
Company. Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. So this week, what are we doing, babe?
We're going to be leaving a week from today. No, a week from yesterday. Hell, yeah. What is today?
Today's Sunday. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be leaving a week from yesterday. Hold on. That was Jen Foley. We're going to be leaving a week from yesterday to go to our cruise.
We are.
Our Texas music cruise.
Yes, I'm so freaking excited.
With Mickey and the Motor Cars.
Wilder Blue. Bree Bagwell.
P. Nunn.
Gary P. Nunn. And Tanner Sparks. I mean, a lot of people.
There's too many to even mention. Yeah. And I guess we need to make a list of them.
I have a list. I've reached out to most of them. So we're bringing our recording equipment. And pretty much, I mean, I've reached out to all of them. Some of them have never gotten back to me. That's fine.
We'll get them all.
If they want to be on, then we will. But we definitely, Wilder Blue, Zane said, yes, we would love to. I haven't talked to Bree, but she and I've talked about doing another episode with her. So I don't think that she'll tell me no.
Well, I think y'all need to do a crossover episode. I think y'all need to do another episode. You know,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Cause she has a great podcast.
We talked to Mickey and the Motor Cars. They for sure said yes.
Those are some of the coolest wife guys.
Messaged me back. She said, yes.
Zane is incredible.
Dude. Yeah. You know. I'm excited. Yeah. And I bought ducks.
Sean.
I bought little country music ducks or little country cowboy ducks and little cowboys to hide all over the ship. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, guess what we're doing in just an hour or two?
We're headed to...
I don't know. Where are we headed?
Like Weatherford?
Yeah. So congratulations to Real Texas Radio for their 9th anniversary, I believe is what it is.
I think so.
And Michael White just... celebrated his birthday not too long ago too. So we're going to go and hang out with them for the anniversary bash. I'm super excited.
So yeah, it'll be a long day, but it'll be fun while we're there.
It's a really cool radio station. In fact, it's so cool that they play our podcast on Monday afternoons for your ride home.
Yeah, I think the drive time.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that for a while and we've got a lot of good response from it.
I love it.
And so
Great guy. If
you're sitting at the house and you need something or work and you need some, you can go on the internet and you can actually pull in.
And all he plays is Texas musicians. It's not country. It's not all country. It's just Texas artists and a little bit of red dirt. But
and what's wild is I've been able to pick it up at school.
Yeah.
And even with our firewall. So it's pretty cool. So,
So
I don't know.
What else? I think that's all. Oh, we're going to maybe try to stop by and see Jeff Canada on our way through town.
Montgomery Fair.
Kim and David, my sister, she listens to every episode, by the way.
Hi, Kim.
So, hey, love Kim. You. They are going on the cruise with us, so we're super excited about that. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for a week.
You have not had so much fun until you got my sister-in-law tipsy. It is so much fun. She's a hoot.
We bought the drink package. I don't think they did.
That's okay. But, she's still one of my favorite people. So is David.
I'm sure we'll be ordering some wine at dinner every night. But anyway, guys.
So we may miss next week. So if we do, we're just going to re-release one of our
previous episodes,
one of our favorites.
I'll go by and look and see which one has the most streams, and we might release that one, or we might just release
one of our favorites.
One of our favorites. Yeah. We'll see.
Or just one that's special to us.
They're all special.
Well, they're all special. I'm special.
Alrighty, guys. Until next time.
See you on the dance floor.
I'm glad this party's over and damn, it sure was nice meeting you.
Our intro song is Top Shelf Liquor, performed by the late, great Taylor D and written by Amy Johnson and Chad Rowland. Our outro song is written and performed by Chris Cunningham, and it's called Meeting You.